Okay. Okay. Okay, now just be clear or what have you, and we can get this on it. If it gets too extensive and you need to take a break, just let me know, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First, I need you to state your full name.
Raymond Smith.
Raymond Smith. Your place of birth?
Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay. How old are you, Mr. Smith?
I am 63.
63.
I don't hear good. What is she saying? Ask me how old I was.
When did you first begin to work in the horse industry?
1923.
With whom did you work with?
I worked with W.R. Cole.
W.R. Cole?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And where was this?
And I started to work with him here, and we went on to New York.
To New York, okay. Mm-hmm. What was your first job with the horses, and what was your final job? What was your first job that you had dealing with horses?
Riding them.
Riding. Okay. And so what did you do while you were riding? You were just training them, exercising?
Yeah, breaking them.
You were breaking them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what was your final job with horses?
My final job? Was walking them and riding and walking them.
Riding on.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Smith, what is the most memorable thing that stands out about in your mind about your work with the horses?
Well, I just like to be around them. And, I just like to work around them, and if I'm not working around them, I'm just kind of lost, yeah.
Okay. What was it like for you as a black man working in a horse industry?
As a black man, I think it's great just to be working around them.
So you felt a sense of honor and pride about your work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have any regrets about working in the horse industry? Would you want to do anything else?
No. If I'm doing anything else, I'm not satisfied.
Okay. What main contributions do you feel that blacks have made to the industry?
Well, I think I don't know exactly know.
Okay.
But like riding them and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they made a great the best, and I don't think it can be beat.
As far as our contribution to the industry, you feel like we made the sport great?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you feel like the horse industry has improved its relationship with African American people?
Mm-hmm.
You do? In what sense?
Oh, have we improved?
Right.
Any? No, I think it's gone back. We're doing less than we used to do.
Okay, so you feel like over the years we're doing less in the industry,
mm-hmm,
than what we've done in the past.
Yeah, because the thing got so good they didn't give us a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's doing now then.
Right. So you feel like blacks were shut out of the industry as time went on. Okay.
Making too much money is one thing.
Oh, so you feel like when they start making the money, then we were shut out.
That's right. That.
And we weren't given the opportunity, you say?
That's right. Wasn't given the opportunity. And the minute that they pick up a white boy or something like that could do a little bit of it, they push the black boy out and this white boy take over.
Okay. Okay. Now I'm going to cover a few areas on you that I went over with you earlier about your biographical information. You say that you're from Lexington, Kentucky. Okay. And did you live here your entire life as a child?
That entire life? Well, I was in New York.
Okay.
And I stayed up there from 1923 to back up in the 30s.
So what school did you attend here?
Who did I work for here?
What school did you go to?
Oh, Constitution.
Constitution School?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was a high school or?
Yeah. It's
elementary?
Elementary.
Elementary school. So what high school did you attend?
Didn't attend.
You didn't go to high school?
I didn't have a chance.
You didn't have a chance?
Back then, we usually had to work mostly for living. And then they didn't pay us enough money, so at that time we'd get on horses for 50 cents. So to make a good day out of it, we had to make as many 50 cents.
Okay. So in order to have a good day, 50 cents was the amount that you need to bring home in order to make the ends meet?
I'd bring more in. But 50 cents was the highest they'd give you in getting on one horse.
Okay. So how many horses would you have to get on a day to bring a decent pay home?
Well, sometimes I get on 32.
About 32 horses a day?
Mm-hmm.
At 50 cents each? Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything that stands out about your childhood that you want to discuss?
Oh, riding. Riding races and things like that.
So those were your goals, that was your fondest memory of your childhood, just being able to ride and work with horses. Okay. Mr. Smith, as fully as possible, will you describe and discuss the occupation of your parents?
My father, he had a...
What was his name?
Ike Smith.
Ike Smith, okay, go ahead.
Isaac Smith.
Isaac. Okay.
And he had wagons and things like that. He rented out to different people. And we rode the horses and plowed gardens and things like that. And then we'd go and after get out of the school, we go back home and eat our dinner and go where he's at. We work with him. It's like thinning corn and plowing fields and things like that. And help him out after a week again.
Okay, so you say your father used to rent out wagons to other people.
Horses too.
He rent out horses, so he owned his own horses?
Most of them.
And he owned the wagons, and that was a form of business for him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a family business that you had to forgo going to high school so that you can help with the family business.
Mm-hmm. We didn't get no high school.
Right. Because mm-hmm. you had to work.
Yeah.
Could you state your mother's name and what it was that
Isabel
she did?
Smith.
Isabel?
Sarah.
Sarah.
Bell.
Bell.
Smith Winchester Smith. Isabel Winchester Smith.
Okay. Sarah Bell Winchester Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it that your mother did?
Well, if she went and done day work and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Which was kind of normal for mm-hmm. wives and women back
yes,
in that day.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What yes. memories do you have of your mother?
Hmm?
So what are the memories you have of your mother?
Oh, I just, well, just making her go to school and come home and do our work.
The chores.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And back like that.
Okay. Do you have any memory of your grandparents?
Grandparents, no.
Do you know what they made, what they did in their day?
My grandfather was a preacher.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I had four preachers, uncles, and just four uncles,
mm-hmm.
the preachers, and a little bit more than them preachers.
Mm-hmm. So your grandfather was a preacher. What did he do for a living outside of preaching?
He drove a wagon, like my father did.
He drove wagons.
Mm-hmm.
For other people?
No, for himself.
For himself. So he mm-hmm. had his own business yeah. where he rented out the wagons, and your father inherited that,
mm-hmm.
and then that's what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Did you take over that after your father? Who took over the family business after that?
Well, it just all went, they mostly all started going to the racehorse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You all started fooling around the racehorse.
So, for as much as you can remember, you did have a family business for three generations?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's awesome. Did you grow up around the backside?
On the backside, mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What were some of the childhood activities related to the backside? What did the kids do as you were growing up?
Playing and running over and that's all. It's about playing, running over and things like that.
So they didn't have things for you to do or anything? Mm-hmm. You just made up your own
yes.
activities and what have you?
That's right.
Okay. What are your earliest memories of the track? I mean, when you think back as a child, what was the first thing you can remember about the track that stuck with you?
Well, I practically lived on the track here.
Uh-huh.
This is right here next to the next week where I was born.
Uh-huh.
And the racing is the only thing we ever known.
So that's all you knew, so that was part of your...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So did you hold any other job before you were working on the track, or was that your only job that you've ever had?
That's the first, and only one we had.
So you grew up behind on the backside,
mm-hmm.
which you knew the track from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where your first job came about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, you stayed, you went to elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
What about any other educational that you may have picked up as far as a skill or other trades or?
We used to box for like that.
Mm-hmm. So but, can you tell me about something about that?
Hmm?
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, we used to box one another and who were around in school, go down on Water Street to the boxing place, and school around there.
So they had a gym where you guys mm-hmm. can go and box and,
yeah.
and play and things of that nature. Do you mm-hmm. remember the name of this gym?
What you call it, Hall? I think McCannagy Hall, I think it was.
McCannagy?
Mm-hmm.
McCannagy Hall.
Yeah.
Boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have any memories of courtship? What did you do, old girlfriends or?
No, I just went to school, come back and work.
Well, when did you meet your wife?
Oh, that was way back in the 30s.
In the 30s?
Mm-hmm.
You want to elaborate on that? Tell us a little mm-hmm. bit about that?
Sure. When I was there in Columbus, Ohio, where she worked at,
uh-huh.
I mean, where she lived at,
mm-hmm.
and we got together there.
Okay.
And come back here. In fact, I left her there, and I looked up one day, and she was here. We ain't been away from one another.
Well, that's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you date before you got married?
How long? 3 years. But 4 years, something like that.
So when did you decide to get married?
Back in the 30s.
Back in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And one day you decided, I have to marry this lady.
The 30s.
Mm-hmm. What is her name?
What's her name?
Uh-huh.
And she's right there. Helen?
Just to have it on a tape so we can have it. Helen?
Helen Smith.
Helen Smith.
Her name was Helen Toews.
Helen Toews.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, do you have any children?
I have two. But they, they're not mine.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So we got, they have two.
So there are children prior to the marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you want to tell me about your two children? Mm-hmm. Where did they grow up?
They grew up right there in Columbus.
Uh-huh.
We went back and forth.
Mm-hmm. So they went to school in Columbus also?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And to your knowledge, what are they doing today?
Well, one's dead, and the other one works.
Work? Mm-hmm. Any grandchildren?
Well, we've got so many grandchildren. They had 14 kids.
One of them had 14 children?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And one had 14 children, and all the children had kids.
Okay. Okay. As far as the jobs that you worked on the backside,
mm-hmm.
how were you trained to do this?
Well, it's the hires to walk horses.
Mm-hmm.
Then we learn how to ride them by walking them, and early we get up on them and like that and break them.
Mm-hmm. Who were the teachers of your trade back then?
Well, back then, Jim Berry was the teacher.
Jim Berry?
Mm-hmm. And the other one was Cap Williams.
Cap Williams.
And the rest of them, we just picked up around.
Oh, you just learned as you went along. So can you elaborate on what these two teachers did? What type of trade or skill did they teach?
Oh, how to ride and go to school and how to take care of yourself and things like that.
So it kind of groomed you about the horses and personal things in your life.
Well, if we what they did after we ride them, we had to walk them. And we walk them. Then after we walk them, they clean them off. The men hold them where we clean them off, teaching us how to clean horses off. And after that, they well, that's mostly what we had to do. Had to clean horses off and things like that.
Okay, when you say ride them, you rode them in races? So how many races did you have you rode in?
40, I think I rode in 44.
44 races?
That
was a jockey. Okay. Any memories that you can remember being a jockey? One of your fondest memories of any of your races that stand out to you the most?
I guess I have to show you.
Okay.
Watch out there, you show your age. She could tell that when I started talking. The old thing is probably dusty watching.
Did you?
New York and all around. I've been halfway around the country.
So you just traveled with him?
Traveling with him. I met all kinds of people.
Really? Oh my goodness, this is beautiful.
I bet it's dusty, Raymond.
It's fine. You wanna tell me anything that really stands out about this race? Anything important about this particular horse? This horse was called
Sweep Royal.
Sweep Royal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was so special about this horse to you?
He, I broke him. And then, in fact, I didn't break him. I was working for the man after, and I ride him in the morning, and I learned his ways. And he had a funny way, he would walk in the gate and go to sleep. And I took my work, and I used to touch him like that. With that pinch, and I could feel him move, you know. And I learned how to get away from the gate on him.
That's his brother. He's dead now. They always with horses.
Okay, the owner of this horse was H.C. Young. The owner of this horse was H.C. Young.
H.B. Young?
Young, the owner of the horse.
That's Young, yeah.
So, what place did this horse finish?
Where did he finish?
Yeah,
here, man.
Oh, so you were the first place for him.
That's me.
Okay. And this was August the 3rd, 1937.
Yeah.
So how did you feel after winning that race?
I feel like The world was on top of the world.
You're on top of the world.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I could do anything.
Yeah.
Here's another one.
Okay. Let's do that one. Now, what number horse was this that you rode on? You say you rode 44 times. Do you remember this particular?
That's my first win.
This was your first win in 1937.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah. I bet that was the highest moment in your life then, for wasn't it?
Well, everybody rode me. He was awful fast, and didn't nobody know how to, what to do with him but me. And everywhere he went, I'd be the one on him all the time. And I found out ways when they put me on him to ride him in the race. Everybody got a left on him.
Mm-hmm.
And a man called Gibson, old man Gibson, told him, said, why don't you put Raymond on him? And they told me the next day they're going to put him in and put me on him. And asked me, could I do the weight? So I was way, way heavier than what I was supposed to be.
Right.
So I got on the road, and job, and got down to the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got down to the weight, they put me on it.
What was the weight requirement then?
It was around 114 and 15 and like that.
114, 15 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't be any heavier than that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm holding another photo. Do you remember anything about this horse? What was the name of this horse?
That's Knockdown.
Knockdown.
Mm-hmm.
What year was this?
It's
That's okay.
Hmm? You know, I'll give it to you in a minute.
Uh-huh.
That's 40.
This was in Los Angeles, California?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's 1944.
1944. Mm-hmm. And this race was in Los Angeles, California?
Mm-hmm.
Anything special about this horse?
Oh, I didn't ride him in the race, but I rode him every way he went.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Okay. Okay.
And he went to Derby. He went to Los Angeles Derby.
Uh-huh. What place did he take?
Hmm?
What place did he take?
Win it.
Oh, he won it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He went it and he went to Los Angeles Handicap.
What did you want to say then? It's him and his brother.
Okay. Okay. So all the other ones, these are your brother?
No, this one is my brother.
Mm-hmm.
That's me, then that's Fatty.
Okay.
A lot of them good ones is gone. He let them take them.
Any of these horses, these doesn't look like you rode on any of these. You just, you just rode them and trained them a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so around these years, they're saying in the 50s, they started moving white jockeys aboard. I see all mm-hmm. these are just, well, the jockeys are no longer African American here.
Yeah, we got one of them ought to be in there. He's from South Carolina. Yeah, that's one. Yeah, that's him.
Okay, who is that?
That's, he ain't called his name.
Bond?
No.
B.P. Bonds was a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Richardson.
That's right. Jose Richardson.
Jose Richardson.
He's from South Carolina.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, continue on with our questioning.
Mm-hmm.
As far as your occupation, what skills were required of specific backside occupants? What skills were required that you had to have in order to work on the backside?
You had to have a job, one thing. And next week, they teach you how to walk them horses.
Uh-huh.
And after you learn how to walk the horses,
mm-hmm.
then you got so many to walk,
mm-hmm.
which we'd have about four apiece or something like
mm-hmm.
that. And you take each day and walk them four.
Okay. Now, about the pay. Can you give me how they handled the paying and the hiring practices that they had
back then? You usually went on a contract.
Okay.
And they pay you for your clothes and your food
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Okay.
And they sent you one that, you work for straight would be them that take care of your clothes and things like
mm-hmm.
that.
Okay. So do you feel like the pay was fair and just for all the amount of work that you had to do? Do you feel like they paid you enough?
No. Mm-mm.
You don't?
No.
What do you feel like you were worth then?
Well, it was fun to us.
Right.
To do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was making money for them.
Right.
And nowadays you do that, you have to have, a whole lot more money,
mm-hmm.
I would say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were there others that you felt were getting paid a little bit more than you were that were doing the same thing?
The white boy.
Mm-hmm.
The white boy, he was getting a lot more than we were. Oh, we would get just sometimes 50 cents just to get on one horse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's risking our life.
And what were they getting?
Well, they're riding maybe a dollar or two or something like that.
A dollar or two, and you were just getting 50 cents.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we had to get on for a quarter.
For a quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you feel that the hiring of the people were unfair?
Mm-hmm. It had to be unfair.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to make you get on one for 50 cents, and you're going out there and make say $1,000 or something like that,
mm-hmm.
which you make more sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So they would make $1,000 off the horse for winning after it rode, and all you would get is 50 cents.
Or less. Mm-hmm. That's right, less.
Did you ever find yourself in a position where you were training the horse and you did all the good things that you could for the horse, and instead of them letting you ride the horse, they let somebody else ride it?
Let the white boy ride the horse.
They did that? You feel like they did mm-hmm. that a lot?
They done that a lot until, mm-hmm. they done that to that horse until John Gibson mm-hmm. asked Snoop says, well, why don't you put, they had my nickname was Sidekick, because I used to box all the time. Uh-huh. And hey, why don't you put Sidekick on that horse? Because uh-huh. he can get him out of the gate. They couldn't get him out of the gate. And so they put me on him, and that's when it's him winning. Mm-hmm. And that other picture, not that. That's knockdown there.
Right.
He went to the Santa Anita Derby mm-hmm. and the Santa Anita Handicap.
Okay. But this particular race, Sweep Royal, this was at the Thistledown Park. What? Mm-hmm. Where is that?
That's in Ohio.
Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So. That's Santa Anita.
Mm-hmm. So you feel what job required the most skill and training to do? Being a jockey, what job did you have to do that you felt required more skill to do versus another job?
Well, it would be an exciting boy. It would be more skill because here he got to know everything. And the jock, he'll know only when the man, what the man tell him.
Okay.
Then he's got to do what the man tell him.
So you feel like the exercise boys, what they call them, mm-hmm. they require the most training and skill because they have to know everything about a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And the jockeys just had to get up there and ride them and just do what they were told to do.
That's right.
Okay.
He don't know what he's getting on either.
That's true. So as far as the exercise boys, how long did you work as an exercise boy?
57 years.
57 years
mm-hmm.
as an exercise boy. And 57 years as a jockey?
Mm-mm.
How many years as a jockey?
I only was around 20-some years as a jockey.
20-some years as a jockey? Mm-hmm. So you were an exercise boy before you became a jockey.
Mm-hmm.
And so 20 years after being an exercise boy, they made you a jockey. Okay. Okay. Where and what are considered the best positions in the backside?
What's the best position?
Uh-huh.
The best position is trainer and exercise boy and groom.
Trainer, exercise boy and groom.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the best positions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you got to give right, I can't call.
Mm-hmm.
That thing going on.
Oh, take your time. We have plenty of tape. Just don't mm-hmm. worry about that. Just take your time.
And I said groom, didn't I?
A groom, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, and then some foreman, and trainer, assistant trainer.
Mm-hmm.
trainer and assistant trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's would be about the horse.
Mm-hmm. What do you consider those to still be the best positions today?
Oh yeah, cause you get a whole lot more money today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you describe to me what a typical work day was for you, from the time you woke up to the time you went to sleep in the evening?
Time I woke up, time I went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, I woke up, I go and have my breakfast and things like that. Get on three or four horses and come back and wash up.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be about all.
Okay. So how much time did you spend on a job on any given day? How much time were you out there? Was it just 5 hours? Was it 6 hours? How much time did you spend in any given day?
Well, back in them days, you spend around 2 or 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes. One horse.
So it took 2 to 3 hours for one horse, and on an average day you were with four horses.
Mm-hmm.
So you were out there for about at least 12 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Just with horses.
And I used to take, and if I liked the horse, I'd take and put a shank on him.
Mm-hmm.
And get me a rub rag and take him out there and let him eat grass.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, and after I let him eat grass, bring him back, and wipe him up and put him in.
Mm-hmm. Working on the backside, what did you hope that being a jockey and a trainer, what did you hope that those positions and doing that would take you someday?
Well, it's what all the boys think that they're going to ride races.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing come into the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And which it came in mind too.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know I was going to ever ride.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was off to ride back in the 30s, and They didn't put me up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, little things you do that they get mad at you and wouldn't let you do it.
Like what?
Mm-hmm. Like, going and doing your job early in the morning and all like that.
So if you decided you wanted to do your job early in the morning...
I didn't.
They didn't want you to do that.
I didn't do my job.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they didn't put you up. They promised to let you ride.
Right.
And then you didn't do what they wanted you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wouldn't...
So they would promise to let you ride the horse in a race,
mm-hmm.
and then they didn't come through.
Mm-hmm.
And so you, in turn, didn't do your job,
yeah, mm-hmm.
for them. And so mm-hmm. they would get mad at you, expecting you to still do the work,
mm-hmm.
regardless if they let you ride or not.
Yeah, that's right.
So as a trainer and jockey, I guess what I'm trying to get to, did you look at that as a form or a way to get out of the backside? Were the work that you did, were you in hopes that one day you can do something better or do something different? Or that was your ultimate dream, was just to be a rider?
It was my dream to be a rider.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So you never were in hopes of getting away from the backside?
Yeah, well, my people always had horses around me.
Uh-huh.
And I've always wanted to be around horses.
Uh-huh. So you didn't feel like you were missing out another lifestyle
Mm-mm.
or anything of that nature. You wanted to be there at the backside.
Okay. I want to be around all as long as I be around all.
What did you feel in that time could have been improved to make your life a little bit better?
Well, training horses, thing like that would make my life better.
So as far as from the owners, you lived on the back side of the track. What could they have done to make your life a little easier or to make it a little better for you? What do you feel like they could have done, contribute to the backside to make the overall experience a little better?
They could gave me a better job, like, well, in fact, I didn't want to, never wanted to train the horses, but I always wanted to ride them.
Mm-hmm.
And I refused 3 or 4 jobs training.
Mm-hmm.
And here, since I've been a man, I refused training.
Do you feel like they gave you the respect as a man, as a black man back then, that you deserve? Okay, the question was, do you feel like they gave you the respect that you deserved? Were you respected as a black man? For what you did, do you feel like they gave you the respect that you needed or deserved?
No. Well, no, because they want you to do too much work.
Mm-hmm.
You practically, you're up in the morning and sometimes want you to feed, want you to water off, help them to groom horses, and things like that.
Okay. So how did they overall treat you?
Well, they treat you nice.
Because
you was under contract to them. And I was a little kind of hard-headed. And he said something to me that I don't like. I'd be in New York, and the next time you see me, I'd be in Lexington.
Because they talked down to you, they were talking bad to you, that you just decided you weren't going to take that type of treatment?
Wouldn't take it.
And so you just left.
Mm-hmm.
Came back home.
Mm-hmm.
Did they ever call for you to come back?
Yeah, he soon got this.
Were you that good?
He soon got me and made me come back. That's what I'd like to do. I like to take horse out and graze and things like that. And I'd make almost a whole day just going around the house.
So, as far as the social scene, was there a sense of community among the backside workers, the families that were raised there? Did you feel like that was your community? Was there a sense of wholeness there?
Yeah, some of them.
Some
of them not.
So did the families interact a lot? Did they, in the evenings, did they stop and have dinner together or on holidays? What did the different families do together as a community? Did they have...
On a holiday, they give a dinner for them, things like that. All the people could go to the dinner. And we called you in charge of nothing.
So, did the people themselves on the backside put on this function, or was it the owner or the...
The owner.
The owners kind of put a party for them, where all the community yes. families came together as a whole. So as far as the community of the backside workers, the different families, did they have their own type of functions without the owner? Did you guys ever meet just to know?
Yeah.
What about church services or?
Well, church services, you have a church would be in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have a church in the evening.
Oh, so because mm-hmm. you work so much during the day, did you work every day?
Every day.
7 days a week. Mm-hmm. They didn't give you a day off.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to change your, today our church services are in the morning,
mm-hmm.
but then your church services were in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And that was to compensate for your schedule. What yeah. time was this service held?
Well, like around 4 or 5 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did the backside community, did they have their own
school?
Did they have their own schooling or
mm-hmm.
they had their own school where all the backside community kids
yeah,
they went to school?
Mm-hmm.
They have their own stores. Did they have their mm-hmm. own none of they didn't have their own stores? Their own housing was provided by the owners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Some of the owners.
Some of the owners.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And what was the housing condition? What was the living condition? Was it were they livable?
In stalls.
You lived in stalls.
Thing, yeah, like up in the loft. And
you lived in lofts in barns.
Mm-hmm. Barns. Yeah.
So that they would provide your housing in stalls and barns.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have leaky roofs?
Yeah, well, if you tell them they fix it,
mm-hmm.
you have some.
But you never just had a home. You didn't
mm-hmm.
have the backside community didn't just have little houses that
no.
they can. They slept in stalls.
Until yeah, lately.
Mm-hmm. And they slept in barns.
Mm-hmm.
But today they have little private homes, housing.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you ever want to purchase your own house then, or? Were you happy with the living conditions?
Well, we had to be happy with it,
mm-hmm.
we didn't have nothing else.
What if you had children? How did they adapt that?
The children didn't have to find a way of getting around.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they had to find a way to get around.
Mm-hmm. So, did the backside community, did they have a... what today we call clubs, disco clubs, where they kind of mingled and they danced a little bit and they didn't have anything like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing like it.
Okay. So they didn't have any other type of or events or activities that the families participated
mm-mm.
as a group?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, nothing like it.
Have you ever worked at Churchill Downs? Okay.
Quite a bit.
Did Churchill Downs or any other track provide services to the family? Did they provide medical attention for you, medical services? Did they?
Like they do now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do
what type
that.
Of services did they provide for you?
Well, like you're working for me. They send you a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Was it you or in your family, if anything happened to your family members, or just the writer?
Yeah, you.
Just you?
Just you. Mm-hmm.
So if anything happened to your family, one of your family members got sick.
Yeah, you make it the best way you can.
So they didn't provide for a family member. You just had to survive it out.
That's right.
Okay. Did they provide any other type of services for you?
Like what?
Well, we know they provided some housing. Some owners provided housing. And if the owners didn't provide housing, where were you to stay?
In the stall, upstairs in the barn.
Mm-hmm. And so some owners did provide limited medical service.
Mm-hmm.
when you were on the road. Mm-hmm. They provided housing for you on the road. Or did you stay in hotels when you traveled?
No, didn't stay in a hotel.
What did you stay
in? In the barn.
You stayed in barns.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever the horse was.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of stayed with the horse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you stay where that horse was.
Can you tell me anything about any owners that you worked with? Any owner that you really had respect for, who really treated you like a human being? Was there any owner that stand out in your mind that looked at you as a individual and gave you the respect that you deserved?
Yeah, well, W.R. Cole.
W.R. Cole.
Mm-hmm. And Bradley.
Bradley.
E.R. Bradley.
E.R.
E.R. Bradley.
E.R. Bradley.
And Main Chance. And
who was that?
Main Chance.
Main Chance?
Main.
Main.
Chance.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Audrey just said that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So,
so you really enjoyed working with those particular owners?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did they pay a little bit more than some of the other owners? What did they do that was so different than the other owners?
Well, they would give you a more decent place to stay. You know.
They provided better housing for you?
Better housing.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that.
So instead of sleeping in a barn, where did they allow you to sleep?
Well, they had a barn off on the track, like in between the.
Okay,
barn,
they had a barn away from the track that they converted to like a house.
That's right.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about other trainers that you worked with?
Well,
any trainers that stand out in your mind that you felt you learned a lot from? Or?
Well, I learned a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there any particular trainer that just comes to mind when you think of a trainer that you work with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would say W.R. Cole.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a trainer, he was the owner.
Mm-hmm.
But he got a house out there and for people.
Mm-hmm.
Groomed and mm-hmm. exercising board and things like that.
Okay, so they're, as far as trainers are concerned,
mm-hmm.
Who are some of the other trainers that you work with that you remember fondly?
Main Chance.
Main Chance.
Mm-hmm. And, E.R. Bradley.
E.R. Bradley.
Mm-hmm. Max Harris.
Max?
Mac.
Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Hurst.
Hurst.
Mm-hmm. Mac Hurst, okay.
And, yes, both.
These are all African-American trainers.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any white trainers that you can remember that were decent trainers that you enjoyed working with?
Oh, no.
Because you never really worked together? The white trainers and the black trainers never worked together as a unit?
Well, Jim Bear and Cap Williams, they were black.
Mm-hmm.
And they were over us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They kept them over us.
What about any other jockey? Is there any other jockey other than yourself that you just admired and you enjoy working with?
That little boy right there. That little boy right there. Well,
right here?
Jose Richard.
Jose Richard.
Mm-hmm.
You enjoy working with him? Mm-hmm. What was it about Jose that you really...
He was a nice little kid, but he just run, got messed up in the wrong bun.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He come stay right here with us.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Any other jockeys that you can remember that you enjoy working with and just enjoy being around?
Yeah, Simpson, can't call the name.
Mm-hmm. What about, was there any white jockeys?
Oh yeah, a lot of white jockeys.
That just, that you worked with, that you enjoy
being around
right.
with? Good. Well, Earl Sandy.
Earl Sandy.
Mm-hmm. And Billy Goff.
Billy Garth?
Goff.
Goff.
Uh-huh. And a whole lot of them.
Okay. Mr. Smith, what horses have you worked with?
Go to hell. Hell.
You can go and get that.
Hmm?
Go ahead.
She didn't.
Okay. What horses have you worked with?
Yeah.
Just give me a few names of the horses that you've worked with. You raced 40 of them, so we know it's 40 of them out there that should come to mind.
Yes. Well, the back, Black Mariah.
Magna Rye?
Black.
Black Mariah.
Mariah.
Black Mariah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Pompey.
Pompey?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Pompey.
Pompey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've tried to think of bowling horses.
Well, out of the horses that you work with, which one stands out in your memory? Which horse just stands out in your memory?
Well, one stands out in my memory is Black Mariah.
Black Mariah.
Mm-hmm. And Pompey.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's he hollering about?
I think.
I ought to be over there playing with you. Oh.
What was it about those two horses that really stand out in your mind?
Well,
they could run, and for them to run, you got to run to beat them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they didn't fool around.
Okay.
And,
we talked about this briefly, about the working and living conditions associated with the backside.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that changed over a period of time?
Not too good.
You don't think the conditions, the living and working conditions really changed any?
Not only just a few.
Mm-hmm.
Not too good. Because you still in them bonds.
So how do you, in your words, feel that the working and living conditions need to be changed? How do they need to be improved?
I think that you should have house for men, and groomed. Exam board. And for them to take showers and things like that. And for them to eat.
So they need a better places where you can shower, where you can eat, where you can purchase food. How did you, living in barns, how did you shower?
How did you shower?
How did you clean yourself?
This is your barn. You come out your barn, you put everything you want under your arm. And you walk down to the toilet, I say.
Okay, you walk down to the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a place where everybody went in together to shower?
Take showers.
So they didn't have individual private showers for you or anything like that? And living in barns and stalls, how did you eat? How did you cook food and stuff?
I cooked myself.
I mean, but how did you, if you live in a barn, like today we have stoves. How did you manage cooking your food?
I carried my own stove.
You carried your own stove. So you had to carry your stove wherever you went in order to cook food. And how did you refrigerate the cold stuff? How did you keep milk cold?
I had my own refrigerator.
You had to take a refrigerator with you. Okay.
I got bawled out about it the other time, but I at least had it.
So in the barns, they did have somewhere you can plug in electricity? Okay.
But they didn't allow you to cook.
They didn't want you cooking in the barn, though. So you had to cook on the outside.
We cook in the barn, but they didn't want you to be cooking in the barn if they caught you.
Right, because they thought about fires and
That's
stuff.
That's right.
Okay. How do you feel about unionization?
Union? In the way I think, they should have had a union. I do.
Do you feel like unions help the situation any? Do you feel, what is it about the union that you appreciate?
A lot of it's too cheap. A lot of men.
Were you part of a union?
Was I part of it? I were.
You were? Do you feel like the union as a whole accomplished a lot? Do you feel like they caused a lot of changes?
It caused a whole lot of changes.
Could you elaborate on some of the changes you feel like the union had?
Well, I did.
Okay, what are some of the changes that the union brought about?
Like, sweet meat bond and everything. Pay, and the pay, you got a raise in your pay and things like that.
So you got a raise from 50 cent to what?
Well, it wasn't too much raise, but you got 150 and all like that.
$150 to 200 from 50 cent. So that must have made a big difference.
Yeah.
Okay. So, how do you feel like the additional money, how did that change in your lifestyle? How did that help in your home situation?
Well, you get a lot of things that you wanted, you could get it. But a whole lot of things you feel like you could do, you go downtown and do it.
So you felt now you are a part of society. You didn't feel like you were cast aside because you couldn't afford to do certain things.
That's right.
Okay. Even with the additional money, were you allowed to just go anywhere to eat where you wanted to eat?
Well, in some places.
Some places, but some places still had segregated places where you can go.
But now they don't.
All right. Okay. The union also helped bring about the changes from the trainers and the groomen and the jockeys living in stalls and barns. How did they change that? How did that change come about?
Living in stalls, They didn't live in the stall. They lived at home.
Right.
They didn't live in no stall like we did. Mm-hmm.
So the union workers didn't live in stalls?
Well, some of them.
Some of them did?
Mm-hmm.
But did the union overall change the impact? Did the union collectively
change
the living conditions? Did they come together and make a difference as far as the living conditions? Did they get that? They got a change for pay. They mm-hmm. got an increase in your pay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did they get an increase or a allotment for better living conditions?
Yeah, some places.
Some places. Mm-hmm. So instead of living in some places that did get better, instead of living in stalls and barns, where did they live?
Well, you could go out and get your room or something like that.
Oh, so you can get a room that mm-hmm. the owners had to provide?
No, you had provided yourself.
Oh, you provided yourself. So
they pay enough money.
They paid you enough money now that you can go and get a room mm-hmm. or get a place to stay.
That's right.
Versus staying in a barn mm-hmm. or a stall. Is there anything else you want to talk about that you feel like I might have missed?
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm.
There's one thing I'm curious to know. Your wife was telling me she traveled with you.
She did.
Everywhere you went.
Mm-hmm.
Did that make a difference for you?
Yeah. Well, that's different.
She added that support that you needed while you were on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Was it ever a time where she said, this is enough, I'm ready to settle down? There never was. Was there ever a time where the conditions she felt were unbearable for her?
Oh, like when she gets sick or something like that.
When she got sick?
Mm-hmm. I was working with people that paid for her sickness mm-hmm. and everything. I paid for one of them, paid all the doctor bills and everything.
Okay.
And
which owner was that?
Hmm?
Which owner was that?
Ms. Morris.
Ms. Morris?
Morris.
Mm-hmm. Morris.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She owned the Main Chance.
She owned Main Chance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she told me to get on the train to get on I was getting on the train too.
Mm-hmm.
Get on the same train the horses took.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a box car there that. Fly by you?
No. No. Mm-mm. No.
She paid her doctor bills and everything.
Okay, that was a blessing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She paid her doctor bills mm-hmm. and we had four horses in the Derby.
Mm-hmm.
And we run three of them. Yeah. So, well, that's about all, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. What level of education did your wife have?
Hmm?
What level of education did your wife have?
Well, she likes to work in people's homes and things
uh-huh.
like that.
Did she go to school?
Did she go to school?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Did she go to high school?
Yeah.
She finished high school? Did she go to college? She went to high school in Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland?
Columbus.
Columbus. Columbus, Ohio. As a wife, do you feel like with the education that she had, that you wanted more for her than what you can provide, given with the backside?
Why do I want more?
For your wife.
For what? Well, I think he would feel a little better, and I would too.
Mm-hmm. Do you think she had any regrets?
No, she didn't. She didn't.
Okay.
Because she wouldn't quit.
And when I say I'm going, I see more than 3 or 4 suitcases.
Oh, she every time you say you're leaving, she had 3 or 4 suitcases ready to go.
Yeah, that's right.
So she enjoyed the traveling with you.
Yeah.
She enjoyed being a part of what was making you happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how long have you been married?
Oh, let's see, about 50 years, I think.
About 50-some years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Mr. Smith, this will conclude our interview. Before we conclude this interview, I'm going to go over our donor's release form, which again just gives us permission to utilize the information that we have here on tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I do appreciate you taking the time and talking with me today.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy it.
Okay. You're saying the white people learned from the black people about horses?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They ran down Main Street.
They ran down Main Street.
Right down Main Street. If you come down Broadway.
Uh-huh.
You're going to run right straight down that hill.
Okay.
Into the place.
Okay.
Yeah. About the Derby.
What are you looking
at? Book about the Derby. That's the what? Derby. You're talking Derby.